Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Up to 90, up to 90. Will I put the musical insert this week, Emma? Does it make us more professional if we have a musical insert? Maybe it does.
Leave it. It's grand. Absolutely fine. How are you?
Oh, the big question. We're grand. We're fine. We're flying it now. We're on the solids. Things are getting messy. We were in town today. I had Ted strapped to my body, met a very nice lady. She asked, was he 18 months old? I said, no, he's 7 months old. This keeps happening because I was in Tesco the other day and they guessed that he was 2. So I'm like, no, this spud is only 7 months old. My beloved spud. And we were traipsing around town and everyone we met, I said, we're going to Kane's fish shop. And they said, oh, lovely. And, you know, somebody, the next person would ask, where are you off to? And I'd say, we're off to Kane's fish shop. I must have said it, Emma, to 4 or 5 people that I was going to the fish shop. And I have news for you. I traipsed from one side of town to the other, only to discover that the fish shop is not open on a Monday. Now, I refuse to accept that nobody, I told a slew of locals that I was going to the fish shop and not one person thought to tell me that that fish shop was closed. As my mother would say, are they only laughing at me? Is that what this is about, Emma?
Well, no. I think what's happening in Dingle, it's very clear. If people are saying that Ted is 2, Ted is 18 months old, it seems clear and it's sad, but we have to state the fact that crack has made its way to Dingle, finally. Because, and if people don't know that the fish shop isn't open on a Monday, it just sounds like there's a serious drug epidemic going on in Dingle. And I think this conversation now, this start of you saying your story about having Ted strapped to your body and people just nodding along with you and saying, oh, enjoy it, a bit of fish would be lovely tonight. This is going to be shown in the documentary. I don't know who's going to make it, if it's going to be RT, if it's going to be a Netflix thing. I think it could be a Netflix thing because just the whole thing of they'll really big it up, like, you know, Dingle and, like, you know, all the history and culture of Dingle and this, like, you know, place where people flock to Dingle, and then it's like it's been overrun with crack. And I think you just haven't noticed because you have been spending most of your time in Garvey's and the post office. But I think if you'd actually, maybe that's where the crack is going on. Maybe it's going on in the fish shop and they're not even aware it's closed on a Monday. Maybe they're selling crack. They're not selling fish anymore.
Do you know what? Oh my God, the Zoom just froze there. Is there anything more disturbing when the Zoom freezes on your face? Oh, I think you're right. When you started speaking of crack, I thought you meant the old Irish crack, but you're talking Netflix documentary crack.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Or crack would it be, with a hard CK at the end.
Or would it be crystal meth? Would that be...
See, I'm never sure what the drugs are. And I can remember I had Maurice on once on a crime land. Maurice Gowan, he's a very funny comedian. Do check her out on Instagram if you haven't already. She's gas. But I had her on and I was asking her lots of questions about what the drugs were. And she was like, Judy, why did you have me on this? And I was like, I thought you'd know what crystal meth was. you've lived in California. She's like, Judy, no. So look, we were unsure. We came away from that podcast more confused than when we started. Hence why people occasionally leave reviews like, it just felt like the podcast was under-researched. Yes, it's a passion project. That's my disclaimer when people are like, but I expect a West Cork. And instead, I got a woman who spent 20 minutes talking about how a fish shop was closed. Yes, that is the brand. No, and actually, you're right. That very well, that could have been one happening. Actually, at the risk of digressing, do you know, I had a power today. Philadelphia. Tom Hanks
for the Chief. Oh, sorry, the film. Okay,
neither. Yeah. Third option, the film. Well, you know, when you think about it, obviously amazing film and all the rest, very, very sad. I mean, probably, you know, soundbite of the night. Judy thinks Philadelphia, the movie, was sad. Wow, Judy, you're so in tune with emotions. But isn't it strange? So that was basically a film about one man's battle with discrimination, obviously suffering from AIDS. So it was a film really about his experience of having AIDS in 90s America. But it's strange that they called it Philadelphia, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it wasn't named after the cheese. Sure it wasn't?
No, it wasn't after the cheese, but it would be like, say now if you were exploring the story, I don't know, like somebody's battle with hepatitis C and you called it Kilkenny. It just, it's funny, isn't it? Because it doesn't really correlate with the name of the movie.
I know, do you know what? Speaking of Tom Cruise,
We were talking about Tom Hanks, but we can speak about Tom Cruise. putting in the Winona Ryder wins an Oscar box.
Is it not Tom Cruise in Philadelphia?
No, it's, oh geez, as if any of us would have sat through that.
What am I thinking of?
Because I used to have that joke and I never really got it to work on stage. But I would say to an audience member, you know that film Tom Hanks was in? It was the pioneering film and it explored somebody battling AIDS. And they would say, yes, Philadelphia. And I would say, no, Forrest Gump. Poor old Jenny. Women erased from cinematic history once again.
Oh my God.
Never really worked in the crunch with the guys in the Harvard hoodies saying, what is this old lady saying?
I'm witching out.
Tom Cruise. Okay, if he was in Philadelphia, it would have been a lot of shouting.
Oh, well, that's what I'm getting on to. I happened upon Tom Cruise on Graham Norton. That's on a Saturday night, is it? Or Friday night? I don't know.
Friday night, back in the day. We're just living in, I feel like we're just living in this warp zone of reruns. But I think back when life was normal, Graham Norton was on a Friday.
No, but this isn't reruns. This is like there's no audience there and they're all socially distanced or whatever. But they're allowed to go to the to be interviewed in studio. So Tom Cruise is on it and John Bishop is on it.
John Bishop?
Is that not right? So basically, Graham Bishop,
right? And can't believe me, look. There's always a whack of that off John Bishop. Is there? Can't believe me, look.
Probably made up. He is on it, right? And he's being classic John Bishop, telling stories in a relaxed, effortless way. That are funny, but you know, they feel like stories. It doesn't feel rehearsed or it doesn't feel like stand up. Obviously, he's worked these stories, but he does it very well. And Tom Cruise was sitting there going, who the fuck is this chap? And everything John Bishop said, he was trying to get in on it. And Tom was fuming and he was doing that thing where he gets very excitable. When it's kind of, there's a bit of laughter and it's all kicking off. I nearly thought that he was going to pull out jumping up on the chair.
Thought he was going to jump up on the chair?
Yeah, just like for all time's sake, just like, well, this went down well the last time. I might as well do this because this fella, John Bishop, who I can't understand a fucking word he's saying, seems to be like raking in all the laughs. I don't even know who else is on it. Oh, some English actress, just one of those English actresses that's just kind of a bit boring. And she's just kind of professional English.
Yeah.
You know, one of them.
Do I what? Yes. There always seems to be a bit of that lately on Graham Norton.
But
not even limited to female actors. I would say just a kind of, you know, an actor that, like, you're like, were they in The Crown? Were they in Peaky Blinders? Like, I just can't play. Ooh, and they talk like this. But actually, you know, they play a John Bishop character. And everyone's like, wow. But I can imagine Tom wanting to get in on the John Bishop vibe.
Yeah.
So he went to school, right? And Tom's like, I know school. Yeah. Like, you're talking a high school element. So is it a school? Do you know Tom was just a fucking school?
You know, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The manic laughing and kind of the energy of it. But in fairness to Tom, he does look well. And yeah, the English, he wasn't getting in on the English actress's vibe because she's there to, like, the stories are always something like the first day on set and I dropped my pen or something. You're just like, oh, deadly story. And we're all meant to be like,
that or it's the, oh, next thing my agent called me and she said, you won't believe this, but you've gotten the job. And I turned to the gardener and I said, gardener, I got the job. And he said, you what? And we all laughed and we laughed and we laughed, but we didn't laugh too long because the gardener was working. But we were so excited. I went in, I said it to the cook. I said, I got the job. She said, you did not. What job? And we fell around laughing.
And
Tom's
then,
like, you got a job? Yeah. I've got a job. I'm an actor. Is anyone going to talk to me?
And then Graham just, like, he just lightly just over the fact that her parents or whatever are, you know, from acting royalty or whatever.
Oh, yeah. They're artists.
A direct. Yeah, exactly. Both parents.
And of course, your dad has a funny job. That's right. My father, he paints nudes. And I can remember one time as a child, I went into the manor and it was the West Wing. I didn't usually go into the West Wing. And next thing, my mummy is there and she's totally naked. Father was painting her. We laughed and we laughed and we laughed.
So as I said, crack has reached Dingle.
The crack is real.
Now.
The crack is real. So look, if anyone's listening, just a heads up, Kane's Fish Shop, don't let the locals fool you. It's not open. It is absolutely not open.
Is it open Saturday and Sunday though?
It's open Saturday. I think it could be closed Sunday, Monday, but currently their lemon soul is just, it's out of this world. I lie in bed at night dreaming of their lemon soul, and that is not an exaggeration.
Is it expensive though?
It's so reasonable. You wouldn't believe how reasonable it is. I got 6 small fillets of lemon soul on Friday and it was less than €6.
Well, now Maggie will back me up on this. Hopefully, but there is a fishmonger's near us and extortionate, and they don't put prices on anything.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, it's just, it's too much. And you see, I hate the way fish has become. Honestly, it's like procuring diamonds these days. It's just so difficult to actually eat fish and keep it within budget, unless you're living beside Kane's, which is a great fish shop. I would say I recommend it, but sure, look, everyone who comes to Dingle and buys fish goes there.
I know, it's like as if we've overfished our waters, isn't it?
I know, but then I read somewhere, I read a conspiracy theory on that. That we haven't overfished the waters at all. And this virus has just been one big hoax. Oh, sure, of course we have. Absolutely. Well, don't get me started on, like, I do really feel at the risk of sounding like a Brexiteer over here. Love the EU and all the rest. But Irish fishermen have been really, and fisherwomen have been really, really screwed by the EU. And it is outrageous. And it really makes me angry.
Sorry, changing subject again, but we have to apologize for last week's episode because we spoke.
Oh yes. So funny. Us being all reasonable.
We were being all reasonable about expose presenter on Instagram. And like, look, we'll call a spade now. We're amongst friends, but we realize this is absolute nonsense. But
We were trying to be reasonable, but like, and we do believe in debate and discussion, but like, look, I mean,
then
it is what it is now.
Holocaust was brought up. And so we're out now, really, aren't we?
We're completely out, absolutely out. And yet, and I totally don't judge people on this. They can do what they want. It's their Instagram, it's their social media. People, and I had to laugh listening back to last week's episode. I was saying to Fred, let's play a drinking game. Every time Julie says, people I love and respect, have a drink. Because it's said it like four times. I have no idea why. But no, like people I do like still follow Ashley. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Why give someone the follow, even if it's a hate follow? It's like up to the bitter end of Trump. So many people were still following Trump. And I'm like, why? Because if you want to get a Trump update, just fucking search for him.
Yeah, but look, I don't want to be putting that kind of stuff out. Like if 60% of my following is hate following, like, please don't follow me.
Hate follows. Oh, speaking of hate follows, Julie's book club is happening this Friday. It's The Silent Patient. I'm throwing up more options. I meant to do this last week and I actually, for some reason, had difficulty. Very hard to do much with the Patreon on your phone. So I'm going to go on the laptop, put up some options that people kindly suggested. A few people messaged me for next month. And this Friday is The Silent Patient. It's very available. It's very available in all the bookshops. So even if you haven't bought it yet, I think, well, I suppose you'll be getting this Wednesday, so you probably won't have it read. But please join us if you have read the book. It'll be great. And that's over on the old Patreon. Do you know what happened to me today? I was sitting on the loo because, you know, obviously when you have the baby, like you go to the loo, you're bringing the phone because you're committing. You're in there for as long as possible. I sat there so long scrolling on my Twitter that my legs went completely dead, like total pins and needles on the loo, like completely both legs dead. So I actually had to call Fred and Fred had to come in and lift me off the loo. Obviously, I'd wiped and I flushed, but he had to come in and help me up. It was a low moment. I just had such bad pins and needles.
And when did your legs go back to normal?
Well, this is funny because he left me then standing up. He's like, there you are now, you're grand. But I still couldn't walk, so I had to call him again. It was just jelly like central.
Oh, my God.
I know. I mean, probably won't. Of course. I mean, look, that story probably won't make the final edit. But I just thought it was just the look of disgust on Fred's face when he came in. And he was like, have you wiped? I was like, what does it matter? Lift me up. And then as he lifted me up, he was like, I only wanted a coffee in Galway because that was our first date. It's a running joke. But I only want, anytime I'm like, can you pass me a bottle? I only wanted a coffee in Galway.
Come here. I was only networking. How long were you on the toilet for? Do you reckon?
Oh, a long, long time. I'm not going to lie. I was on the loo for a long time. I was catching up on some serious correspondence. It could have been 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's kind of the length of time a man would sit on the toilet with his phone.
I know. And you know what? I don't know if I ever sat in the toilet that long without needing to sit on the toilet that long. But like.
But you were just getting your scroll on. Was there anything that you think you saw online that triggered?
Well, it wasn't so much that, but I thought Jose Mourinho was dead. And it took me too long to work out that he wasn't dead because he was trending because he's left Spurs. And so I shouted out to Fred, I was like, did you hear Jose Mourinho died? And then I just had to confirm whether or not he was dead. And sure, I keep clicking in. Obviously, Kate Middleton has been trending for 5 days. I keep fucking clicking in, hoping upon hope that something interesting is being said about Kate Middleton. It's just the same thing. Weed in or out in the black mask and the black hat and the we get it. P.S.
They it's done now though, isn't it? I know they had the big funeral.
Well,
they kind of drag it out in England a bit, don't they?
They do. I don't know. Like, I feel obviously, you know, I don't know if we touched upon Brook. I think we did discuss Prince Philip dying last week.
Yeah.
But I do find it funny now that, obviously, with it being the most complained about thing in TV history, I mean, that is kind of gas, not being bad. But, like, imagine news coverage of your life being the most offensive thing in TV history.
It's pretty bad. Like, I mean, I don't know how long they get out of my life. They'd probably get, like with music in it as well, and a photo, like, montage. I'd say 3 minutes. No,
oh, Emma, this is you, as they say down in Dingle. This is you, a geese crooked. You're real fishing now.
Fishing, no, but I think most people. But I think, okay, but unless you're a person who, I know he was married to the Queen and he's got a few bits, but there's only a few key things you can hit on with a person. Like, say if you have somebody who won a whole load of Oscars, you're just going to mention their first one and then say, and they went on to win X for X. You know what I mean? You're not going to
skip into the Oscars. Yeah.
You know, you've just got to do the highlights. You can't hit everything.
You can't. No. Impossible.
Unless you've got your own songs, like George Michael, because you can dot them in between. You know what I mean? But I think...
George, R.I.P. George.
Yeah. Oh, whatever.
Do you remember on Up to 90 back in the day, I think was our most listened to episode before we decided we were sick of the 90s and then just said we'd just chat every week.
Yeah.
Do you remember I was banging on about me being, of course, the true crime head here. I was talking about Sophie Toscan-Duplantier's murder.
Yeah.
And Ian Bailey, he actually broke up with his long-term partner this week. I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, so they broke up. And Jules Thomas, so obviously Ian Bailey, who was the prime suspect back in the day for the Sophie Toscan-Duplantier murder, and was actually found, he was found guilty in a French court, but he was found guilty in absentia, so he wasn't actually put on trial, but they just reviewed the evidence and found him to be guilty. And they actually asked the Irish courts for permission to extradite him, but then the whole pandemic happened. Don't know if you're aware of this, Emma, but there was actually a virus this year, so it kind of delayed things in the court system. So he wasn't actually extradited to France and probably won't be from a legal position.
Yeah.
But so Ian Bailey and Jules Thomas, who was his long-term Welsh partner, have broken up. So poor old Sophie Toscan-Duplantier, just to remind people very quickly that Sophie was beaten to death near Bailey's home in December 1996, but he has always denied any involvement. And yeah, so they broke up, and she told the Irish Mail on Sunday, Jules Thomas, after 25 years, I'm sick and tired of banging on with this. It's just been awful. All that stuff in print, the press attention, the photographers, everything. I put up with him for far too long, and I realise now it was a waste of time. It was always a one-way flow. Men like him don't ever bend or accommodate. It's to do with their egos. Yes, he was physically abusive to me a couple of times. We split up for a while and then got back together again. The Welsh woman said she believes Bailey is innocent, and she said she would have left him sooner if it wasn't for the intense media scrutiny, including the French trial. She said, I am convinced of his innocence, always have been, and that it was a stitch up by the guards from the beginning. If I'd left him in the middle of it all, it would have looked like he did it, so I just gritted my teeth. And then Mr. Bailey, who was a journalist, inverted commas, confirmed the split to the newspaper and said, I'm feeling very raw at present, so I don't want to speak about this right now, but it is over. So Ian Bailey, serving pizzas at a farmer's market near you. Yeah, so they broke up. I mean, it was probably a relationship. Did you listen to West Cork, Emma? that podcast.
No, I didn't. Hang on, I'm just going to turn on the light.
The audiobook, I should say. I turn on mine as well, because it is, once again, it's every time we never see the darkness coming. It's like it floors us. Hang on, guys.
Oh, and you know what was so funny there the other day? Do you remember when we were doing the gigs with Joanne? And she was like, do neither of you have like a ring light or something?
No.
I mean, I did, but I wasn't using it properly.
And we were just like, no, who cares? But no, I didn't actually listen to it. And funny enough, Shane has actually just finished it there.
Did he love it?
Yeah, he said it was great. Like, it was really,
it's really good. And it's very...
I think I will. Because I remember you had listened to it and it was brilliant. And I listened to one... what did I listen to recently that was a crime one? Oh, it was about our old mate who used to go out with Epstein. What's her face?
Ghislaine.
Yeah, I listened to one recently about her and I enjoyed it. I do. I was like, I don't know if I'll enjoy this, like, kind of heavily produced. You know, it's almost like a TV show in a podcast. I was like, oh, I don't know if I really, but I did enjoy it. So I must put it on my list. But sorry, just when you were saying that there, like, so how long have they been together since all of this, like, scrutiny started?
Well, 25 years since that incident happened. And, like, one thing with West Cork, it was, I mean, obviously it's a case that continues to really divide people. I mean, even anytime I discuss it with friends of mine who have any passing interest in the case, we're always divided, like, as to who thinks that he did do it, who thinks that it was a frame or whatever. But one thing that was definitely very clear from West Cork was you really felt sorry for Jules Thomas, the partner, because obviously she had been in a very volatile, physically abusive relationship. There seemed to be a lot of, you know, alcohol abuse involved as well. And in that series, it was noticeable that she did not really speak to the reporters alone, bar on one occasion. So that's something that kind of really disconcerts you as a listener. Do you know that a woman is like not, she's never speaking to them on her own. Like, he's always present bar on one occasion. You don't want to say not allowed to speak to these people on her own, or is she not comfortable speaking to them on her own? But their relationship dynamic, I felt, was something that really struck me as a listener. So it's interesting now that she is actually taking a step back, because like that was 25 years ago. And I mean, obviously like their lives have been consumed by this case for the last 25 years. Yeah. And like even her description of him there, I mean, like obviously he comes across as an incredibly narcissistic man. So living with that, I can only imagine living with that level of ego, what it would be like. But yeah, so they have split up.
25 years is such a long
time. Yeah, it's a very long time. And also the fact that like all their dirty laundry was kind of brought out there for all to see and judge. And now that was kind of his own doing, because do you remember he brought that defamation case, and that's when like I suppose all this book of evidence as such was produced, even though it wasn't a book of evidence because it was a civil case. But like all that stuff about the physical abuse and all that, like that must have been so hard on her, because presumably it was him driving this case because he wanted to clear his name and blah, blah, blah. But like she was the one who was, I suppose, made particularly vulnerable because all this information came out about how he beat her so badly. You know, really just a lot of horrible stuff there. So look, I just was surprised by that after all this time.
I see, I don't even know how you go, well, I'd know how you could go about clearing your name, but like whether you're guilty or not of something, it's very hard to clear your name once it's been damaged to such a degree.
Well, I suppose whether or not he was guilty, none of us know. But what I will say is I don't think he did himself any favours, because he did court the attention. So I suppose you can't have it both ways, in the sense that like numerous people talked about going on holidays to Skull, and him telling them in a pub, oh, you know, I supposedly killed that woman, or I killed that woman, or, you know, giving a lift to a hitchhiker and saying to the hitchhiker, oh, you know, I was doing great until I went up there and killed that woman. So like, he really did, I suppose he kind of, he certainly courted attention, and he probably on some level, because he does strike, I think, anyone as being a very narcissistic personality, that he did enjoy kind of creating this narrative around himself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then, of course, you know, if he was an innocent man, well, there has been something very egregious done to him by, you know, the state and by the guards, etc., because he has repeatedly been referred to as the prime suspect and been, I suppose, presented to us as such. So if he was innocent all this time, you would feel sorry for him, of course, on some level. But at the same time, if you haven't killed someone, then don't go around saying you have. Because that's, you know, that's very unhelpful for everyone involved. I mean, especially like the victim's family. Like, you know, that, you know, more than, you know, when people get those prank calls from people saying, oh, I think we talked about it on the Crime Land when we were talking about Philip Cairns. You know, people ringing up saying, oh, well, you know, I did it. I have him here, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just, it's very harmful to the family if you are going to say that stuff. Whether or not you're under the influence of alcohol or whatever, there's kind of no excuse.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, I don't want to be too judgmental here, but there is a lot to be said for not killing people.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think murder is bad. That's my, I mean, it's controversial. I'm putting it out there. And I always thought, like, even like, you know, at the time, Ian Bailey's, it was, you know, around Christmas and all the excuses to why he was seen with scratches around that time by numerous people in the village. And, you know, he explained it away. Like, it was such a violent depiction of Christmas. It was like, well, the turkey scratched me and I climbed a Christmas tree and I got scratched. Like, I just think, who has such a violent, frenzied Christmas? You're being attacked by turkeys, Christmas trees. Like, whatever happened to a bit of fairy tale in New York, a nice Irish cafe and a couple of mince pies?
The turkey. He
said the turkey scratched him at one time. He said the turkey scratched him, and then that he climbed a Christmas tree and that caused scratches. And hilariously, to kind of disprove this theory, one of the guards, the group of guards, went to the Christmas trees in question, the Christmas tree farmer, and one of the guards climbed the Christmas tree to see could he get scratched in the same way. Like, there was a lot of that crack. And we say that with love. Okay, we say that in love because I've got a lot of guards in the family. I know, I'm such, like, my auntie is always like, Judy, you are so indoctrinated because you are like a guard's daughter, and a few of my uncles are guards and all the rest. I probably am.
Of course you would be, but like, we all have elements of that in different things. You know, like, we all have elements of that. I don't know any guards, so.
Not, you don't know one guard.
Oh no, I do know a guard, but I don't know, I've no like guards in my family. Or
what about that guard who got rid of that case for you? You know him, don't you?
Yeah, well, that was business. That was more of an exchange, you know what
Donna,
I mean?
Like, Donna. Yeah, that was transactional, you're right. Yeah,
like, you know, very friendly and all that, but
you threw the tweet out, he got back, the job was done.
Yeah. No, but I've no family guards.
You see, I say things like, oh, thank God the guards are here. My auntie's always like, Judy, this just is really symptomatic of your privilege that you're happy to see the guards. The rest of us can't stand them. I'm like, what? This is just me up and like, in my little guard tower over here saying things like, yeah, they've got a tough job. My auntie's like, what are you talking about?
But if you got stopped by a guard now, because I know you've had your run-ins with the law, how long does it take you before you tell them that your dad used to be a guard?
Well, no, I used to save that one for when I was trying to get into nightclubs underage. I'd be like, listen, just so you know, my dad's, I don't know, should I be name dropping like this, but just so you know, my dad's a ministerial driver. Yeah. Arts and the Grail Thugged, don't brag, but you know Eamon O'Creeve? Yeah, like, he gets to sit beside him, 7 days out of 14. Thank you. You're welcome. Of course it didn't. I was always off my head on Fat Frogs and Buckfast. I mean, talk about crack of crystal meth. Buckfast is essentially crystal meth. Telling people my dad was a ministerial driver, nobody cares. I used to say that back in the day because dad would have a gun because he was a special branch. And I was always like, what is the story with dad and the gun? Like, who's taking a pop at the Minister for Arts and the Gaeltacht?
And did he have,
I should have got that grant. Put the gun down.
For my installation.
Behind the Fenuica. The Fenuica. Put the gun down, sir. Yeah, no, he would have to have her on his person.
And did he have a shooting range out the back? Did he teach you to shoot?
No.
Be detected?
I never.
In case somebody came for the family.
In case somebody came for the family, no.
Was your house a bit like The Bodyguard, the movie?
No.
Whitney and Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, if Whitney and Kevin spent 95% of their time killing one another, that would definitely have been my mother or father. It was like Whitney and Kevin, but with less shouting, I would say.
You were like the sister. You were Whitney's sister in The Bodyguard, where you were actually behind the whole thing.
I was the wind beneath the wings. That's always been my role. That's my role on Up to Life. Speaking of crystal meth, you know when the eyes start to roll back and around? Thank you, Bet. Thank you for that. I only recently saw Bet in a film and I was like, God, like, is she now cancelled forever since that tweet? Do you remember that awful tweet she put up?
I can't keep up. I don't know if she is. I never was buying into her at all.
You never buying into Hocus Pocus either, I suppose.
Never seen it. Never seen Hocus Pocus. Never seen Beaches.
How are we friends?
So you have to remember, I grew up with two older brothers who dominated their own control.
Yeah.
When would I have been getting to watch Hocus Pocus? When?
Fair point, yeah.
Never seen Dirty Dancing.
Now come here. When you come down to, you know, the way you were saying you're going to come down, well, I extend the invitation. You're going to come down to us in the summer.
Yes.
We'll watch Dirty Dancing.
We're coming down for 4 weeks.
Oh my God, don't even joke. Fred would want you here for 4 weeks.
And we're leaving the boys for 2.
But you know what? We need somebody to mind the gaff when we go to, like, Ted's. He's only 7 months. Like, he needs Tommy and Joe to look after him when we go to the pump. Responsible about this, Emma. We can't leave Ted on his own.
No, I'm definitely coming down during the summer. There's no fear.
But we'll watch Dirty Dancing. I mean, Dirty Dancing, I think, really stands the test of time. Like, it's great.
Well, I do feel like I've seen it all because I've seen so many clips of it. You know what I mean? I'm nearly like, have I seen it? But no, I definitely have not watched it from start to finish. But I think I have a bad tolerance for cheesy movies, maybe. I'm not the best either at the same time.
Yeah, hence why we have Emma's Movie Club.
I'm quite fussy.
Amir, we need to do that as well. Maybe we'll have it done by the time the episode comes out.
I know, we totally forgot, but I still want to do it about that one. I care a lot.
Yeah, we'll do that one. So anyway, that's the story with Ian Paley. I mean, it's a case that continues to fascinate. Where is the missing gate, guys? That's what I want to know. How do you lose a gate? I say that as a fan of the Guards. I love the Guards, but I will ask the question, how did you lose the gate, guys? Okay, that's a big piece of evidence to lose. The gate is gone. I want to know where it is. If you know where the gate is, please get in touch.
And Camille, are you watching Line of Duty?
I'm not, because I've watched it on Netflix. I missed the episode on BBC, forgetting that if you miss the episode, that's it, you're done. You can't watch it on the player. I've been looking up. I don't think there's any way for me to watch it until the bitter end.
It is, to be honest, like, it is hard to watch some of, like, kind of stuff like that. You are better off watching it I can find out for you. I can ask my friend about it.
Oh no, listen, are you watching it? Is it any good?
Yeah, I'm watching it. It kind of took me a few episodes to get into. Obviously, I've watched all the other series. But, you know, it's not
Kate
a complete...
still calling for backup all the time?
She is. And you know what?
I need backup. You're like, Kate, you can carry three coffees. Come on.
She, it's not a complete bosh situation, but it is. It's a bit bosh in terms of like,
yeah,
I'm not grasping everything that's going on. Can I show you something? Just quickly.
Always.
I want to show you this. I got this suit, right? Let me see this.
A suit?
That's green with fur on it.
Lovely, yeah.
And then I got, there's a skirt to go with it. So it's really nice. But I got it from this girl on Instagram. She's called, it's pre-loved by Shay and Joe. I think it's named after her parents. But, so I got it, the suit, and I got the skirt. And it's like, it was handmade by some woman, I'd say, in the like 70s. And it was very, very small. And I could just about get it on. But it was like my arse and my skirt were wrestling. So I went to this place in Nookrobe called Perfect Fit. And I'd never gotten anything altered before. So I was like, oh, this is going to fucking cost a bomb or whatever. So I went up, they measured me, they let it out. Like to make it bigger, and they put a new zip on it. How much do you reckon that was? And it fits perfectly now.
I would say 30 quid.
Yeah, it was 30.
Great value.
More. I couldn't believe it.
That's very, very cute, Emma. Where are you going to wear that to now?
Well,
what do you have coming up? Sorry, are you presenting the news or something? I'm very concerned seeing you whip out a suit.
Well, do you remember me and Claire Byrne?
No, I knew it. This makes so much sense because I was looking at the new prime time. Jesus, talk about crystal meth. The new prime time backdrop. Barbie's dream house on steroids. And I was thinking, this is so trippy. Like, this is definitely... The next thing I know, Emma Doran's going to be here sitting beside Sarah McInerney.
Well, they just thought it would be good for me to have green with the red hair and kind of the contrast because they want to... They want the brunette, they want the blonde, and they want the redhead.
Of course, it's Spice Girls, but it's prime time.
Yeah, and there's going to be a big ad campaign and stuff. So I'm not always going to wear green, but it's, you know, that's, I'm going to be autumnal colours and with greens and that kind of thing.
Well, and it then, suits you, sir.
Yeah, and I'm just going to do the lighter stuff.
I mean, I'd expect nothing less.
Well, I hope that's just for the start because I really want to get my teeth into something, you know, a bit meatier. You know me and my journalistic background. I've never done journalism, but you know me.
Well, listen, I think, you know, Ian Bailey's always up for an interview.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, in fairness to us, we are always the first to break stories on Katie Price-ish.
Always. I know. So a listener did get in touch not so long ago and asked who Katie Price was. It was an international listener. Oh, I have bad news, by the way.
Oh.
Emma, bad news about the podcast. I'm really sad to say this, but we're out of the Argentinian comedy podcast charts. We're gone. We're not even the top 200 in Argentina.
What happened?
It's done. I don't know. I think it could be what you were saying last week about Buenos Aires.
Fuck.
I know. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, you know, I've been DMing people asking, will they sponsor us? This is not going to... I've been opening with my first sign. Just so you know, we're very big in Argentina.
Hmm.
I have to come up with a plan B now. So look, you've got your light segment on prime time. You're mixing it up. You're keeping it current.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. Well, I was on BBC Radio 4 today and I reviewed Frank of Ireland. But it's a tricky situation to be placed in because people that aren't from Ireland don't realise that Irish people take an Irish oath at their confirmation to never speak ill of Ireland to people not from Ireland.
Now, tell me, have you watched Frank of Ireland? Were you on BBC Radio 4 today?
I was, yeah. I was talking about Frank of Ireland, yeah.
Oh my God, what show were you on?
Some show called Front Row.
Front Row, okay. So is that available online?
I don't know. It probably is. I'm sure it is.
What did you make of Frank of Ireland?
Well, so I watched when I watched the first episode and the second episode, I was like, oh, what's going on? Because the character Frank, you know, he's this character in his 30s, living at home with the mom, thinks the world owes him something, you know what I mean, blah blah blah, all that kind of stuff. But like, he just doesn't come across as being very nice. Like, there's not a lot of charm to him, because you're kind of just sitting there going, what's fucking going on here? And there's a lot of penis-y jokes as well, which is fine. I don't begrudge a penis reference, but like, there's a lot, like, quite a lot. There's I don't know how many boner jokes there is. There's boner and anal jokes from Word Go.
Okay.
So when you
I'm
know,
thinking it's no Bosch. That's what I'm thinking.
It's not a Bosch. So, but when, you know, when there's two males in lead role, well, obviously, like, Brian is lead and then his brother is supporting Donald. You're kind of like, a lot of penis jokes, a lot of jokes about anal sex. You're just like, oh, what's going on? But then by the end of the third episode, I was like, okay, I'm actually on board now. But it took me till the third episode. And I think that's why I've seen such a mixed review from people. People are like, oh my God, absolutely hilarious. And then other people are like, absolute pile of shite. But I think it takes to the third episode. And then I suppose, like, with comedy, obviously, you're, like, with any show, you're doing, like, your characters and your plot and your arc and all that. But then with the comedy, I feel like it's extra work then, because they've got to add in the jokes on top of all of that stuff. So, you know, the way, like, sometimes, even as, like, if then a comedian, you don't want to be too harsh on comedy either. And it does usually, you know, you have to give, I don't know about you, but like, you know, the way you'd kind of give shows room, wouldn't you, to kind of see where they go or whatever.
That's the thing with the comedy, as you say, you need to give it room to grow. But sometimes I question this thing of give it to episode three, because I just think, well, nobody ever said about me, Julie J, do you know what? Give her till episode three. The first couple of episodes, pretty hairy. Yeah. You're not going to like her very much. But episode three, that's when she really shines. That's when she comes into her own. So I just feel, why extend compassion to Frank of Ireland when the same compassion wasn't extended to me? But look, that's just me making it about me, which would not be like me at all.
But they're 25. They're 25 second episodes. They're 25 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Fair. So were each of your episodes, were your three episodes 25 minutes?
Slightly longer. Slightly longer, as former colleagues would testify to.
So I think it depends how long episodes are, how many you're willing to sit through before you walk away.
Fair enough. I know. Nobody's saying, yeah, Jeannie was great, but there was 10 minutes there. That was a bit dodgy. I think people are more likely to say her 20s was kind of a rough ride, wasn't it?
Oh my God, I don't even want to think about it.
I still meet people around town who say things like, isn't it great now, all your problems, they're all gone. I'm like, jeez, I mean,
they do not say that, do they?
That was said to me relatively recent enough, but it was an older lady and I know she mentioned it as a compliment, so I didn't want to say to her, well, actually no, I just said yes, brill. Because there's no point getting into it on the street with a baby strapped to your body, desperately seeking a fish shop that's open. There's no point saying, well, you know what? To an external observer, it might seem that way. But we've all got problems, Mary. I just kept on rolling.
Did you get your fish anywhere else?
Oh, you look, take two guesses where I got the fish. Go on. Give me a G, give me an A, give me an R, V, E, Y, S.
Garvey.
Not it in Garvey's. They still haven't got back to my request for them to sponsor the podcast, but I'm sure they're just busy selling fish on a Monday, because I don't know if I mentioned the other fish shop is closed. So they're busy. They're up to 90, some would say, which might be a nice little segue into a sponsorship deal. We have a few new Patrons, will I read them out?
You look like you're on the ball there.
British, we have Leo, we have Anna, we have Brandon, yeah. We have Brandon, we have Anna, we have Leo, we have Bridget, which are the same names, but I've just read them in the opposite order to give the semblance of many, many patrons. Now, if you want to get on board, you know where we are, and we love you very much.
We do.
Are you going to love us back? This is the question. We're on Patreon if you do want to get on board. And we have our book club this Friday. I'm a bit scared because I haven't checked in with people. Can people actually DM me? Can you DM me if you're going to be at this? Because every time I do this, I know it's only the second time, I do kind of feel like it's my 21st all over again. Where was your 21st?
Didn't have one.
Did you not have even a little? Did you have a few drinks?
Oh, no. I was pretty deep in the old self-hatred.
So you weren't celebrating your birth. My 21st was horrendous. My 21st was horrendous. No disrespect. But I did have it in a brand new pub known as Moorish Dan's, which has obviously since become a proper pub. But I think it had been open for 2 days when I decided on my 21st there. And nobody thought of any music. So somebody brought a boom box after a couple of hours. And it was still all MDF. Like it was like sawdust practically. Not sawdust, but you know, it was brand new, like brand spanking new. Now it's a deadly pub, absolutely deadly pub. But somebody brought a boombox, and the only CD somebody had in their clutch bag, because it was the noughties, do you remember this one? What was it again?
Sure, I will.
I need a soldier. He only carries big things, if you know what I mean. And you're like, we get it, Beyonce. We get it. It's not Frank of Ireland, but I think you're talking about the D. So that was just on repeat. Only carries big things, if you know what I mean. And it was gas because
I need a soldier.
Yeah. I've been shifting this guy who had no interest in me. You know, when you look back at these things, you're like, oh my God. I mean, like, I actually feel sorry for him because he could not have made it more obvious that he had no interest in me whatsoever. But he, since we'd last shifted, I'd say a week previous, he had gotten himself a girlfriend. And then somebody had gotten me a cake, which was very thoughtful. But I just remember that his girlfriend had the first slice of cake. And I just remember thinking, God, like, this kind of sums it all up.
Oh my God.
Only carries big things, if you know what I mean. And then we went to the Hillgrove, which is, I don't think the Hillgrove's open anymore. Well, nowhere's open anymore. There's a pandemic. But somebody decided for my 21 kisses, guess what song they picked? And I think this just kind of said, it spoke volumes of where my self-esteem was at and just probably just my life at the time. Bearing in mind I'm a December baby. For my 21 kisses, they were like, well, we've got Jilly in here tonight. She's 21. Line up for kisses. And next thing, feed the world. Let them know it's Christmas time. And I just heard one of my friends saying, he's actually sad, isn't it? All the people starving and dying out there. Anyway, sorry, this night's about you.
That is
21 kisses. And you know, when he keeps saying 21 kisses and like people have to come up again. That's the worst bit. When your gay friends have to come up 3 times, you're like, back off. Oh, hello again. Hello again, Michael, for the third time.
I wouldn't have been able to deal with it because, first of all, I would have been in the mindset at the time that this wasn't from anyone else. This was purely from myself. I would have been in the mindset of the time that I didn't deserve a 21st. That's where I would have been at.
Oh, you can't come out with that clangor and we're on the exit out of up to 90. Strap in, guys. This is going to be another 12 minutes. Of course he deserved a 21st, but you were so full of self-loathing at the time, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, Emma, that makes me really sad.
No, but there's an extra element, like when you're doing the 21 kisses and your toddler's strutting around. Come on.
In between your legs.
there's an extra, you know, it adds an extra layer to it. But having said that as well, your whole experience of your 21st, I've heard that from, not as bad as yours, but I've heard like a similar kind of thing from people, that it can be quite a humiliating experience.
Oh, I mean, it was humiliating. The week before, say you've gone to one.
Yeah, like say the week before you've gone to one that's Rammers, like a Ram, and then it rolls up to your one and there's like fucking, you've had to call in
the favorites. It's just so close to Christmas. People didn't want to, and I'll never forget one of my male friends actually said to the guy who I had been shifting on the regular for a few months before he started going out with this girl, but he was like, are you not going to even wish Julie a happy birthday? And I was standing right there at the bar and I was like, this is just so redundant. He was like, happy birthday. I was like, oh my God, I just want it. And then off we went. Feed the world. People saying, do you prefer this one or do you prefer the original? I'm like, can I just be by me?
Did you make any money though?
No. Sure, look, I was flat. That was when I was going through my serious fake tan phase. There was no disposable income to be had. It was just all going on Saint-Tropez.
Well, I think the old hen and the old wedding now will make up for that.
Well, no, 21st. We need to give Emma the 21st she never had. That'd be a great live Zoom.
I wouldn't. But you know what? It was, remember I was saying to you before we did that gig the other night about the girl, very nice girl, asked me to do a podcast all about, like, you know, growing up or whatever. And she gave me different topics to talk about. And I think like one of them was your 21st, J1, your Debs, 6 year holiday, all this fucking stuff. And I was like, I didn't do any of this.
But like, sorry, sounds like a nice girl, but did she do any research on you whatsoever? Tell me about your J1. Like, do a Google. This is like when very, very nice.
Australia for a year.
Imagine if you came home to Margie and said, good news, I've gotten my shit together, I'm off to Australia for a year. Ella's going to stay here because she's got her room and I wouldn't want to disrupt that. But I'm heading off. Perth, here I come. Margie's like, why is this a one-way ticket? No, I do laugh at that when people don't do their research, because I had a very, very lovely comedian on who's a lovely guy and I really appreciated him taking the time to do Crimeland. And then he sent me a very funny message after saying, best of luck with the podcast. I think it's a great idea. I think you've a great chance doing well with it. Fair play to you and all the rest. And I was like, sorry, I have 37 episodes.
I was just going to say how many episodes.
Do a Google. This podcast exists.
A quick Google.
Anyway, look, I don't want to brag, but we are like number 189 Crimeland in the Argentinian podcast charts. So.
Oh, and up to 90s out.
Out, baby. Out. Wow. Out.
Sounds like not only in this, not only in this episode, but in up to 90 as a whole, I seem to be the weakest link. I think it's me who's responsible for it being out.
Emma, you're the biggest. You're the strongest link. When are we going to start capitalizing on your social media fame?
I think it's how you following.
I feel like every podcast, I feel like every female-led Irish podcast is doing better than us. And I'm happy for them. I am. But when's it going to be our time, Emma? When's it going to be our 21st?
I'm doing a podcast with Claire Byrne. I didn't want to tell you about it. But I'm doing a podcast with Claire Byrne. It's called Emma and Claire. And
it's not even Claire and Emma. It's Emma. That's where we're at now.
And we're talking about true crime.
Do you know what? I happened upon a new fecking true crime podcast there during the week called Cur, which is the Irish for crime. We get it. You're an Irish true crime podcast. I'm sure they're very good. That's up there with, you know, Nicola Tarrant. I had to laugh because Crime World was started a couple of months ago. So I've been slogging away at Crimeland for a year and then Crime World comes along and knocks me from number 200 to knocks him from 189 to 200 in the Argentinian true crime charts. Fuck off. Get your own podcast, is what I have to say to Nicola, who's a very impressive podcast and is currently writing number one in the Irish podcasters. Stop writing my coattails.
This is it. People don't know what's going on in the background with all these podcasts.
Only carries big things if we know one. And you know what's the nice thing about yourself?
Yeah, soda in here.
Yourself and Claire. I hate that, the way I'm just... And then I was like, you are beautiful. No matter what they say. Emma, you're beautiful. No, what a, like.
Oh, go on. What were you going to say?
Go on. No, I was just going to say, it'd be nice now the way you won't be limited genre-wise in terms of the podcast charts, because you're keeping it light. Claire is keeping it. I was going to say heavy, but no, serious in the best possible way. And you're keeping it light. So it's just perfect marriage.
Yeah, because I think, obviously, you can see how hilarious I've been on this episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring that to the podcast with Claire. And I'm
bring this high energy.
Yeah.
Into Artie. D Forbes, if you're listening, we're ready. We're ready for our player show.
I think I'm just, I think I've just given up though. Do you know what I mean? Not on this. I think just in general, I've completely given up. I've lost all feeling of everything. I don't know. I'm experiencing no emotions anymore of any degree.
Wow, that's very alarming coming from you, Ems. It's gas because I haven't noticed any change in your personality at all. Then you're like, I'm dead inside.
No.
Well, do you know? Well, losing feeling in your legs, that's the one you have to worry about. Maybe don't sit on that toilet for too long.
Maybe it was like a kind of a twin thing. Maybe I was experiencing this emotional.
Yeah.
And you were feeling it through your legs. Maybe that's what it was.
But are you okay, honestly, like before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I am. I'm just finished my period. That's all.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you have had a very good week.
I'm just depleted emotionally. Yeah,
it's been a lot. But it's been, I mean, I think we'll put it down as one of the more successful weeks for you.
Wait, you see, this episode will be one of our best ones yet.
I'm telling you, back in to those Argentinian podcast charts.
The less I say, the better it does.
No, that's not true. But I'm just like, I'm sick of congratulating podcasts where it's two Irish women killing it, putting up things like I'm on 2 million downloads. And I'm delighted for them because I love all these women. I just want Garvey's to sponsor us. Goodbye, Emma.
Goodbye, Judy. I think they're trolling us now. So
you've seen that DM, Garvey's. I can see that you've seen it.
I think we should change the name up to Garvey's.
I have another couple of ideas for potential sponsors, and I know this isn't how it works, but I am going to go to them and see who these sponsors. Emma, do you want to sign us off?
God bless patrons. And well, hello to everyone else, but God bless patrons.
Oh, wow. This is what we call progress.
That's fair.
Very fair. Goodbye, Argentina.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Beautiful, Emma. Bye, babes.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.